What's up, guys? My name is Justin Coffin. This is the 330 Sports Show. We are live from downtown Youngstown, Ohio. Today is Tuesday, September 7th, 2021. A lot happened over the weekend, especially college football related. I put most of the stuff down there on the ticker below. So if you want, you can check in on that, because today's show is, you know, we're going to hit on a lot of things that happened, but a lot of today's show is going to be on sports pet peeves, and I'm going to explain why. So Ohio State played last Thursday night, which, you know, feels like a long time ago now, but I at halftime, you know, got on my phone and started, you know, getting on Twitter and Facebook and stuff, and I shouldn't have done that, because, you know, I am, let me just give you my credentials. First of all, I'm a 2005 Ohio State graduate. I lived in Columbus for about 6-7 years. I've rooted for the team since, I don't know, mid-90s, you know, ever since I really liked and appreciated football, you know, stuff like that. I have a ton of friends that went to Ohio State, lived in Columbus. But, you know, there's always been this, and it's not just Ohio State fans. I want to preface it with that. It's basically every fan base that drives me nuts to a point. Now, I put a number out there and I said about 80% of Ohio State fans are great and about 20% are awful. And, you know, it's hard to quantify that with a number, but yeah, it's just the generic number I'm going to put on it. It could be much higher. It could be much lower. I don't exactly know. But from what I see, a lot of the comments are positive or whatever. But okay, so CJ Stroud, redshirt freshman, hasn't played football in 2 years, comes out, and Ohio State gets a 10-0 lead, starts to struggle a little bit, throws a pick. You know, things don't go as smoothly as certain fans would like. Now, remember, this kid is 19 years old, not quite 20 yet. And, you know, fans are like, well, what's Ryan Day doing? Why? Let's go to the backup, Kyle McCord. First of all, it is the first half of the first game of the year after all the weird COVID stuff last year, when there was not many practices and, you know, not game reps for this kid to get in, and in garbage time, like when you're playing in Akron, he might have got 15, 20 snaps in that game, which could have been very beneficial for last year. Going into this year. So I just read some absolutely ridiculous things about CJ Stroud, some about Ryan Day, who, by the way, is 24-2, has not lost a Big Ten game, and his only two losses are to Alabama in the championship game and to Clemson the previous year in the semifinal of college football, which so for any fans to question his play calling, his whatever you want to say, is absolutely an embarrassment. Also, and we'll get into this in a little bit, the announcers. Okay, Gus Johnson, Joel Klatt. I personally think those are the best two announcers in all of college football. You know, you know, some people might like Herb Streets and Fowler. Some people might have their own crew that they like. It's kind of personal preference. But a lot of people were saying, it's just laughable to me. They're like, why is Gus and Joel rooting against the Buckeyes? And like right there, to me, that is just so incredibly laughable. It's embarrassing. Like, as a fan, to think a national announcer is actively rooting against your team. Now, if it's the home team announcers, obviously they're going to be rooting for their team. This is a national announcer who, they do a ton of Buckeyes games, a ton of big games, and a bunch of games Ohio State has won. So I don't know where fans' heads were. I don't know what was going on there. But to me, that caught my eye. And then fast forward a little bit to the Notre Dame-Florida State game, which was Sunday night. Notre Dame had a big lead. Florida State ended up coming back. And a kid by the name of Mackenzie Milton, who shattered his leg in like 10 different spots 2 years ago, worked his way back from a 2-year injury, finally got in the game, and you know, started to lead Florida State on a comeback. And I saw some Notre Dame fans again in that 20% group that were like, well, these guys are actively rooting for Florida State to win. No, they're not. They're saying what a great story it was for this kid, Mackenzie Milton, who played at UCF. got absolutely, you know, basically they had reports of saying no one has ever recovered from this type of injury before. And for the fact that, you know, again, it might be Notre Dame fan, it might be Ohio State fan, it could be whoever, but for them to think, oh, they're actively rooting for Florida State to win this game, so, you know, Mackenzie Milton can be the, you know, the hero. It's like, yeah, I understand maybe you're thinking that in the narrative, but that's not what these guys are doing. So that's just the beginning of my rant. We have plenty, plenty more. I also shared out on social media, what are your sports pet peeves? And we do have phone lines open. I'm going to go through about 30 sports pet peeves before this show is over, which, you know, I came up with my own, but I had people over the weekend on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, share some of theirs with me. And there were some good ones that I would have never thought of. So we're going to open phone lines. If you would like to call in, 330-595-1600, 330-595-1600. If you would like to call in, also one of our former guests, Luke Schuster, I know has one of his own from this past weekend. I believe he's some sort of volunteer soccer coach. If he's able to call in, I'm going to have him tell you about one he experienced this past weekend. So Joe, yes. Before I get into my list, before we get any callers, do you have any sports pet peeves? Or you know what? I'm just going to open it up. I'm going to specifically stick to sports, but you can, any pet peeves that are just like on your mind or just.
You're fired up today. I rarely see Justin.
Yeah.
With, you know, bloodshot eyes and seething like this. So
I have not been drinking.
So let's see. I put this one on Facebook. I hate end zone celebrations.
Okay.
They kill me. You know, I was raised in like, it's gotta be sportsmanship. And so for every touchdown, you have someone who defended against you, mm-hmm. And you need to be a good sportsman and not over celebrate.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. I agree with that at the youth and up to even high school level and maybe even into college level. I think at the professional level, I want some more celebrations because these guys, you know, they put their life on the line, they put their body on the line, their health on the line. And yeah, we know they're making a lot of money, but I think that adds more fun to the game. Like I think in baseball, we had talked about this probably about a year ago with the baseball celebrations. Like if you hit a home run and you stare at it for a second, you know, their chances are next ball is going to be in your teammate's ear, you know, the pitcher's going to throw at them. So I understand the gamesmanship, the sportsmanship of it. And I totally am for that. But I think within reason, there should be allowed some celebration.
Well, any other profession, it's not like the bus driver drops somebody off and is like, yeah,
exactly. You know,
come on. I mean, it's your job. Right. Your job is to score touchdowns. Are you surprised that you scored a touchdown when that's your job?
Well, what is the, all right, let me go back to your bus driver analogy. What is the percentage of people dropped off safely by that bus driver? Should be 100%, right?
You'd expect, yeah.
What is the percentage of scoring a touchdown in a game on any given day?
All right. I see your point. Okay. I see your point.
And you're also,
it's harder.
There's also not another bus defending you from dropping off that person. So well, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, I'll tell you. It is to watch the celebration from a spectator's point of view. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially like the Browns. I love when they go into their hole. Like for Higgins, they have that whole thing and it brings the fans in.
Yeah.
But just from like the practitioner of mm-hmm. being an athlete, take a little pride in yourself. That's your job.
I respect that. There's an old adage that says something along the lines of act like you've been there before.
There you go. Know?
So celebrate within reason or celebrate at your
but
own
it's
risk.
Fun. I get it.
And,
it's fun.
And there are consequences too if you do it too much. So, you know, there's the penalty. And
yeah, and it makes the defender want to hit you harder next time because
exactly.
you're jamming it down your throat.
Exactly.
So you might be making your day a little worse.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I'll just say this take. I'm all for sportsmanship, but if it's showing up an opponent, there's no room for that. So my opinion. Okay.
Taunting. That's what you said, right?
Taunting. Yeah. No taunting. No. Yeah. No showing up an opponent. So let's go to now. Now, I the former teacher in me, the nerd side of me, did a little slideshow. So
I love you so much.
There's
Justin.
Going to be so many slides during this, but we're just going to talk over them and analyze them because I had a lot of people share their thoughts. A lot of people share their ideas.
If we gave you a whiteboard, would you X and O's for us? I mean, would you be a total whiteboarder?
With basketball, I could do it. Football, no. Right. Like football, I understand the game. I love the game. Actually, football is my favorite sport to watch. But with basketball, I understand the X's and the O's. With football, there's a lot more going on than I have the, I'd be a novice at it. But yeah, diagramming with basketball, I could handle that. Right. So yeah, we'll break out the whiteboard sometime.
All right.
Anytime you want. So we'll throw this one up. The very first one is the term blank nation. Now, I use the Red Sox for this example, Red Sox Nation, because there's also Buckeye Nation. There's insert any team. That's why I did that. To me, that's a pet peeve of mine. I just can't stand it. I think it's cliche.
The only one I really hate is Steelers Nation. I hate that one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Any of the Steelers, Cowboys, you know, Cowboys, you could also throw in America's team with that too. It's like, you're not America's team. First of all, you know, your colors aren't even red, white, and blue. Yeah, okay, you're in Dallas. It's a bigger city, whatever, but you know, Cowboys maybe used to be America's team, not so much anymore. So, all right. So, nation, get them out of there. We don't like that one. Another now goes back to what I was talking about. This was one of my initial thoughts. So, I just put up on the screen a picture of Fowler and Herb Street and Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt, who I think are two of the better teams in all of broadcasting. Now, they are not actively rooting against your team. They have jobs to keep. They have biases. Maybe you think, hey, Kirk Herbstreit has a Buckeye bias or this and that. He actually, I think a lot of times goes the opposite way and almost criticizes Ohio State more so he doesn't get that backlash, but then he'll get backlash from Buckeye fans. So it's like, it's a no-win situation. Yeah, these guys are paid a lot of money. They get to, you know, call these great games and experience all this good stuff, but that is not something they're actively doing.
I think the only announcer that I hate is Joe Buck, but I think I join everybody who hates Joe Buck.
We'll get to Joe Buck here in a minute. Yeah, I remember that. We're gonna get to Joe Buck here in a minute. Don't worry,
he has his own category.
He made the list. Now, this one is for our MLO bro friend Luke Schuster. So he made a post this weekend and shared about and we're talking like youth soccer under 8, something like that. So you have volunteer coaches, you have volunteer officials, and they're under 8-year-old kids. No one's winning any titles. No one's getting any scholarship offers. And just like on what the picture says, the reminders from your child, just remember this. I'm a kid. It's just a game. My coach is a volunteer. The officials are human. No college scholarships will be handed out today. I promise you, no 8-year-old child will be receiving a college scholarship on a baseball field, on a soccer field, on a basketball court, on a hockey rink, none of it. So unless your child has a special talent that can get them acting, singing, something like that, they're not getting to the pros right away. So,
and I will tell you though, every phase of athletics when I was a little kid, you can remember the parent, even their name, mm-hmm. the one that was outspoken that would always yell no matter mm-hmm. what.
Yep. And so any overzealous parents, and I also put on that note in there, if you don't know who that parent is, it's probably you. It's probably you. So yeah, just, you know, take a step back, think about your kid. Don't embarrass your kid either. That's another thing. That's got to be embarrassing for them. So
I feel bad for the parent that is strict on their kid in mm-hmm. front of strangers.
Exactly.
You know, that's embarrassing as hell.
And it's one thing to encourage them or maybe like raise your voice or do that in the privacy of your own home or your backyard if you're playing catch or maybe talk to them in a different way, but you know, don't berate them. Don't, you know,
I hate that.
I don't know. To me, it's a poor reflection on parenting.
For sure.
So, now the next one, this one was from Bill De Niro, who is a show contributor. He said the wave at sporting events. I could not agree more. The wave is just something that's overdone, and chances are it's a boring game.
And it never works out.
And you know, it might, if you can get it around the state, and I can appreciate the fact of, but there's always that one guy. It's always a guy. It's never a girl. It's always that one guy. He's obnoxious. He's had about 8 or 9 Miller Lights. You know the guy I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, I totally know.
And he's always at the end, hey, I started that, you know, and that drives me nuts. It's like, first of all, get out of here, dipshit. So next one here, Joe, this one goes to what you were saying, bad sportsmanship, like the picture in there with the ice, you know, speed skaters. And basically underneath it, I just said, don't be a dick. I mean, it's simple life rule.
Well said.
You know, sometimes it just, I don't know. It just doesn't, things don't work out the way you want it to. And I get that.
Did you see what DJ said?
What did he say?
It sounds like Justin wants games to be played inside a library in Cleveland.
DJ, I'm all for fans being rowdy and yelling and cheering, but appropriately. Like, that's all I'm getting to. And I will follow that up. And I appreciate the comment. I will follow that up in a minute here. You'll see. These slides are in basically no particular order, but I had to list them out. But DJ, I can appreciate that. Now, another one, and this one is from another show contributor, Brett Franklin, who I said, give me your biggest sports pet peeves. He said he can't stand when adults, like adult grown-ass men, are tweeting at these 16, 17, 18-year-old kids because they didn't choose their school. Now, if Ohio State has a 5-star commitment, and they lose that kid to recruitment, yeah, you might be bummed out, but don't tweet at the kid. First of all, that kid's making the best decision for his future going forward. And how dare you do that because he's not going to be a Nittany Lion or a Wolverine or a Buckeye or whatever it might be. You know, it's like, come on, just grow the F up, you know, grow the F up. That's so I like that.
You
were
in rare form today. I love this.
You know, all right, this one, this one comes from, and I forgot to cite her, but Mary, she's an avid golfer. And she said one of her big pet peeves is when people are like, get out, get in the hole, you know, stuff like that. And it's like, my God. And if you watch a major sporting event and you see someone off the tee box and they're yelling like, yabba dabba doo, that's great. And it's hilarious. But if you're that person or if you're around that person at a golf match, it's truly embarrassing. So, yeah, I get it. You get your 5 seconds of fame on Twitter or TikTok or whatever, but it's like, at the end of the day, you're just a loser. Next one. This was also from a few people. Oh, actually, you know who this one came from? This was from Stan Boney. He said being disqualified for making the wrong score and signing the scorecard. If a mistake is discovered, change it and move on. No need to disqualify the person. This actually happens more than you think, and it costs guys or girls hundreds of thousands of dollars by that one mistake. Or possibly if it's a youth tournament, an amateur tournament, it could cost them, you know, moving on to a qualifier to become a professional, something like that. And I get, yeah, you shouldn't be making mistakes, but we're inherently human. And that's something that's
a serious peeve, serious golfer peeve.
Oh, so, no doubt.
I've never been, had a card that was worth any money to be disqualified. I think my card, and here's a peeve for you. So at putt-putt, when the maximum is 5 and people are putting on their 7th and 8th, that's a peeve.
I like it. I like it. All right, DJ, one pet peeve. Don't publicly criticize 18 and under athletes. 100%. 100%. Now, those kids are playing for the love of the game. Some kids are great and you know who those kids are when you walk in the door, they're still going to make mistakes. Other kids just play because they like the game, and some aren't the most naturally gifted. And, you know, if they go to the free throw line and miss a free throw, don't criticize them. If they, you know, come down for with a rebound and accidentally travel, okay, it's a mistake. Let, you know, let their teammates and coaches work it out with them. But as a fan, as even a coach, don't openly criticize those players. That's ridiculous. And you might want to critique them in practice and help them get better at something. But I couldn't agree more, DJ. That one's perfect.
I wonder if there's some kind of like fan etiquette that these, you know, we can show these people at venues to make the suggestion that it's not acceptable behavior.
Can I say my number one suggestion? I think it'd be a great seller.
Yeah.
I think we should get t-shirts made or bumper stickers. And it said, "Dear fans, comma, don't be an asshole."
That's all encompassing.
I mean, that's what it is.
You could just figure it out yourself. Am I an asshole? Yes, no.
Yeah. It's a yes or no question. Are you? If you think you might be, then you
don't.
Are.
Then don't are. Do it.
Yeah. So, 100% agree. So yeah, that's one, something very simple is, And I love this saying, and I don't know, I can't give credit because I don't know who said it, but it costs $0 to be a decent human being. You know yeah. what I mean? It you can be the richest person or the poorest person in the world, but at the end of the day, you can be a good human. And just, again, professional athletes, we treat differently than college athletes, which we treat differently than youth athletes.
Let me share this little story with you. So I was out at what's the baseball field out in Niles?
Kafaris Fair.
And so like they have some of the best hecklers that there mm-hmm. ever was in that stadium. And some of those dudes that come up through that league, they're like, look like high school kids. Like they really do look like, and this heckler was hammering this kid so bad. I felt really bad for the guy because it looked like he was going to cry. Mm-hmm. Right. And so like, obviously no one's there to stand up for anybody at that league, but I just felt so bad for that guy.
You know, people are going to, you know, that watch this show either live or later are probably going to be like, well, you know, you're part of the problem because you're softening these athletes. That's not what I'm saying. These athletes are, you can be tough on them as coaches, teammates, whatever, within reason. But we're saying as fans, there's no right for that with the high school athlete. Now, professional athletes, again, a little different, but like you said, That kid probably graduated high school or college just recently and is not making a lot of money. He's probably staying at some normal, basic, cheap hotel, you know, or living with a family that, you know, took that player in. And, you know, minor league baseball is not very glamorous. It is. And you might be the next CC Sabathia or Lindor or whatever to make it from, you know, the minor leagues up to the major leagues or whatever. But, you know, as a fan, it's like, just get over yourself.
And
they're
at that level, they're fueled most on like hopes and dreams. And I don't feel a lot of confidence in that level of players at all.
Right. So. Yeah. And I mean, those guys have natural talent. They wouldn't be there if they weren't. But at the same time, you are human as well. And you're going to make mistakes in baseball. What, you know, 3 out of 10 times you come to the plate, you know, if you have success, you're considered a pretty good player. So I don't know, like these fans, some fans need to set realistic expectations. Let me go back to one more golf one, bad golf etiquette. Now I am not a huge golfer, but I like to pride myself on, if I go onto a golf course, I kind of know the basic rules. So it's, you know, if you have a divot, which if you're a bad golfer, you're going to have a few divots, you replace them, you put the grass back, you fill in the sand, you know, you replace your divots in the green, all that stuff. Don't play too slow. You know, just basic stuff like that. If the ball lands in the sand and you walk in the sand, you rake up the sand and fix that. So,
and yeah, if you have 12 people in your group, let people go ahead of you, please.
Yeah. Yeah. And if anyone puts 12 people in their group, that golf course needs to be checked out. So, all right. This next one is one of my favorites, or one of my least favorites, the Jordan versus LeBron debate. Now, you know, there is a classic GIF. What do you call it?
Joe? GIF.
GIF. Okay. Yeah. There's a classic GIF out there. So basically, if someone says something stupid on the internet, which never happens, by the way, you can always respond with, the just type in Michael Jordan or type in stop, get some help. And that meme is one of my favorites. So they're different players, different eras, don't even play the same position. And, you know, they're played 25, 30 years apart. So at least from the beginning of their career. So let's just end that.
It reminds me of the Eddie Murphy, where he was in that barbershop and he played all the roles, mm-hmm. and they were talking about Muhammad Ali.
That's coming to America.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. And that's 100% accurate. It's like, you know, you can argue about stuff all day till you're blue in the face. But the one thing is you know, you can quantify it with numbers, but it doesn't mean the same thing because everyone, whichever side, it's almost like if you're a Democrat and Republican, which we're not getting into, but you're not going to change that other person's mind.
So you're talking like, at another person.
Yeah. You're either a Jordan guy or you're a LeBron guy. There's really no in between. So it is what it is. And to me, I'm going to say they're both great players who played in a different era. I love ranking things and doing all that, but it's not a necessity in this point. It's just like, just call them two of the best players of all time. How about that?
Deal.
All right. Debate ended. my next one, which happens all the time, especially after COVID, you started to see people getting back to normal life and people coming out of the aisles in Walmart and just fighting in the stands. So once again, I'm sorry, Walmart. If you want to be a sponsor, I will never talk bad about you ever again, I promise. But people will fight in the stands. First of all, it happens too much, you know, and obviously it's usually alcohol induced, which is, hey, I'm all for having a beer or two or a couple drinks, but you know, I mean, look at my shirt for today, tacos and cervezas. You know, it's like everybody deserves to have a little fun, let loose, but within reason. Again,
you get alcohol, you get mouthiness, and you get your team losing, and you mm-hmm. get fights.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and sometimes you'll see, I saw this one fight at the North Carolina Virginia Tech game this past weekend, and it was one North Carolina fan who looked like maybe he was like maybe about 50. But he had like that YMCA dad strength, you know what I mean? But this Virginia Tech kid was yapping, and you could just tell. And once this North Carolina fan, just Google this, it's great. The North Carolina fan goes at him. You could see his eyes, and you could see like other people like scoot away. Like this kid was in deserving an ass beating. So, so like whatever. I mean, I'm sure the guy got arrested, but at the end of the
sometimes
day,
it's
the kid
it.
Probably deserved it.
Now, when your team's down or doing badly and someone's jawing at you, do you feel on tilt? Do you feel like you might,
I get frustrated, but at the end of the day, I think I realize it's a game. You know, again, when you have alcohol in your system, you're not thinking quite as clearly. You're not making a sound of judgments, but I am someone that I've, you know, never been in a fight before. You know, maybe some verbal art altercations, but never physical. So I'm kind of proud of that. And just some people, they're like, I think if you really step back and think, it's like, is this really worth my time? Is this really going, I'm going to let this ruin my day. So.
That's very rational thinking, you know, get alcohol in.
And again, if you have 5, 6, 7, 8 beers or drinks or whatever shots, then you're not thinking like that. You're thinking, hey, this guy's an asshole.
See, I think that you'd be at the stadium looking at your spreadsheet, going through the logical construct of the conversation.
Oh, no. I am not that rational. Believe me, once I get out in the wild, I'm like a freaking tiger out there, except I just like a tiger that's been fed though and doesn't need to feed my my anger. This one actually came from my brother-in-law Brett. He said, how are we still spotting the ball in football? So, and this one actually makes a lot of sense because we have the technology. It's 2021. We have the overhead cameras. We have they're almost like drones, but they're on like strings that they can manipulate and move. So we have that technology. We have the sideline cameras. We have pylon cameras. We have all this other stuff. So my answer to this would be when a team gets a first down or, you know, takes a knee or whatever, spot the ball right on the line and then it's 10 yards from there. So it's like they either reach the line or they didn't. It's not this half yard line stuff or a couple inches here or there, you know? So yeah, maybe the ball moves up by a foot. Maybe it moves back a foot, but it simplifies the matter, or get some actual technology that can take care of this stuff.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, it wouldn't take much to be able to put sensors in the ball, mm-hmm. right? And have the whole thing be controlled by computers. The referees exactly. wouldn't even be necessary.
Exactly. Exactly. When, and we do need referees. Like, I'm not saying that let's get rid
of them. Placement,
for placement. Yeah. Yeah. But like to make the on-field judgment calls, to holding, to, but we don't need them to move the chains right. and all that stuff, which in a close game at the end, a lot of times that will.
I've seen some terrible spots where they just mm-hmm. give them the first down and it was contestable.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. So that is a 2021 pet peeve. Next one. This one comes from Carl, who has, you know, been on the show once before. He said blackouts, and Carl's an Ohio State grad, I should point out too, but blackout at night games, because he basically said it makes the stadium look empty. And I can understand that. So it's pretty much the opposite of effect of a whiteout. Whiteout at Penn State, there's really nothing like
what
it.
The heck
it's
is
intimidating.
It? I've never heard of blackout.
A blackout?
I've never heard
just
of
when
it.
You wear like all black clothing, or you know,
as the fans
hats.
Do it all.
Yeah, yeah, okay. All the fans. Gotcha. So like Ohio State will occasionally wear like once, maybe every other year, they'll wear all black uniforms, and then they'll have the fans all wear. And it really, you know, I've been at one of those games before. It really, kind of mutes the stadium a little bit, in the sense of you just don't get that, you know, you don't see the blocko, you don't see all the, like the red to me is just as intimidating as the white. So I don't know, at Penn State it's really cool, and whiteouts in general I think are effective in the sense of, you know, wearing all white clothing to a sporting event, but the blackouts, like Carl said, maybe not quite as effective.
But let me share a blackout peeve. A different blackout is when my Cleveland Browns didn't ever make it on TV because they didn't sell out of a field and they would black out the game.
Yeah.
And a couple of people bought the remaining tickets so that we could actually watch it on TV. Blackouts were a pain in the ass.
And I think that used to be something that was really, really big up until even recently. I think the NFL did have put something in place where local blackouts, we'll have to check on that, but local blackouts weren't quite as they're not allowed to do it basically as much. So yeah, that's a good one. That's definitely a good one. All right, this one is from Nikki Haas, who told me when her pet peeve is her husband yelling at the TV during a game. So she says basically he thinks like, and Dom, by the way, Yazbek, thinks he can the players can hear them and some of his coaching. So
I can't help it though, you know. Man, I have to I scare the shit out of my kid every once in a while. I'll just start go, you know. Yeah, you can't hear me, but I need to say it.
Oh, and I think we've all done it. I think we're all guilty of this whether we like it or not. But yeah, that's definitely and I think maybe to someone that not necessarily maybe has as much interest in the game or at stake, they could definitely, I could see that being annoying. This one was from my mom. She hates the Pittsburgh Steelers throwback uniforms, but just throwback uniforms in general. Now there are some really cool ones. There are, I don't want to rain on that parade of all throwback uniforms, but the Pittsburgh Steelers ones are pretty bad. I think the Green Bay Packer ones that they do every now and then are pretty bad. But like those Detroit Lions ones they wear on Thanksgiving, those are pretty cool.
The Cowboys, real fluorescent ones, I like when they do those.
Yeah,
fluorescent ones.
Yeah, exactly. So there are some cool. I put one in there, the old Chicago White Sox uniform when they wore shorts. They actually wore shorts and like high socks, almost like a softball uniform. And they wore like a collared jersey, which was, you know, like a dress shirt type collar jersey. So that's an interesting one.
As long as they tie it together with like a Hall of Famer induction or something like that, that'd
sure,
be pretty cool.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. The throwbacks are, within reason, but some just need to go. And another thing too, if you guys, I did give the phone numbers out, but if you want to call in 330-595-1600 to call in to the show.
But I'm with Jenny. The Bumblebee uniform was awful.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. This next one is, speaking of jerseys, is from, Janine. She says grown men wearing jerseys, especially with their own name on them. Now I am guilty. I have my own sports jersey, not with my name on it though. You know, I have a Jarvis Landry jersey. I have a Justin Fields jersey for Ohio State. Those are the two jerseys I own. Now you can maybe say, well, that's a, that's just as bad. You're wearing someone else's name on your back, but whatever. I'm a fan.
No, you don't understand that there's some luck in some of those jerseys. They do better if you wear their jerseys.
Sure.
I'm telling you, that's
sure.
Just, it's connected.
So I am, and here's what I will say is a pet peeve for me, is wearing those jerseys when it's not game day, just like out in public. Not a huge fan of that. And to each their own, but that's just my own personal preference. What do you think, fair or foul on that? Is that okay?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it would go with. I don't know what the practicality of wearing those big, oversized, you know, whatever. Yeah. I think I've had a snowball fight one time in a jersey, but never outside of the game.
Yeah, I usually wear a large, but I think for jerseys, I want to say I get mediums because they are a little bit bigger. So, you know, so they're not quite as...
Yeah, keep them in your sports viewing room. Put it on the wall, maybe. Wear it only to the games.
Yeah, wear it to the game. Wear it in your house. Wear it if you're going to a sports bar, whatever. That's fine, but don't wear it around shopping on a Wednesday. You know, I don't know. Each their own. Whatever you want.
If you wear it, you're a bigger fan than me, so you have to show that you're way bigger of a fan.
I guess so, or maybe you didn't do laundry that week. That's all you got to wear. Next one, the super fan. I'm sorry. The guy up in the top right corner, the Bucknut guy, and from all accounts, he's a really nice person. You know, there's one, I don't know, a weird dude wearing a leprechaun, the Chicago Bear guy, the New York Jets firefighters guys, whatever.
They become famous though, man. They pay attention to him, and you know, the dog bone guy and the mask guy and the Flintstones lady, whatever her name is.
There's a guy from Struthers. That's the Macho Man guy for the Browns. Yeah, I'd like to actually get him on the show sometime. So if he's ever watching, Macho Man, you can come on the show and be our super fan. We will not critique your outfit. We'll actually embrace it. So, but for me, some of those guys, I just put, they don't represent us all. Because when we were at Ohio State, and they would do these, like, you know, previews for this big upcoming game. Like this weekend, they're playing Oregon. That's a huge game. The first two people they will show is that Bucknut guy and the Ohio State firefighter guy that they always show. And us as Ohio State students at the time were like, these guys don't represent us all. Don't judge us based on these two. So maybe they're the 20% of my 100% I mentioned earlier of that crazy fan base. Another one is complaining about every call. And I have our favorite person, Draymond Green, on there. Who, you know, if you are a Cavs fan, you remember Draymond Green just criticizing every single call in the 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19 finals, every single call, you know, and it just drives me nuts. But one thing that is even worse than that is when it's little kids or younger kids, even up to the high school level, criticizing officials, because I think that's reflective of not having respect, not having the discipline. And that could either be a reflection of poor coaching or poor parenting. I'm not saying, you know, anything, but I'm just saying maybe check yourself a little bit if you're constantly criticizing officials.
Yeah. So every yellow flag, it's bullshit no matter what. Exactly. And if it's the other one, they're like the most egregious thing ever. Throw a ball!
It is the most thankless job. And I am guilty of, you know, I've been a coach. I understand they're not going to get every call right. Nope. And at the end of the day, it's like, I think, you know, you might say something in the moment, but you talk to them like a human being and say, sir, miss, could you just explain what happened on that play? Maybe I didn't see it the same way you did, or maybe my athlete didn't see it the same way you did. So to me,
your opening statement about just being a decent human being solves 90% of these things on the
agreed.
List. You know that?
And I agree. Like, you know, anyone that's ever been an athlete too, I understand there's passion, you know, you're in the heat of the moment. I get that, but it all comes down to do the right thing. You know, if you make a mistake, own up to it and fix it. For so, sure. All right, this one, the dramatic injury. And I put on there, the Oscar goes to. So, you know, this happens a lot in soccer. People that do not like LeBron James are always on him for constantly faking injuries or flopping or whatever it might be. So this is another one that, and I think this one I think everyone gets a little bit annoyed with the fake injuries. For sure. So, and I know that's, those are very egregious.
But my favorite field. Are the ones that like misdo it and you could tell that it was a fake out. Yeah. Like they think something's going to connect. So they pretend, but it didn't make contact.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Those are the greatest.
And just for a good laugh, if you get a couple minutes, just Google like fake soccer flops. It's worldly entertaining. Moving on to Major League Baseball. Now, I'm going to talk real quick about their salary cap. Now, this is a huge topic for another show, but we're just going to address this quickly. If DJ's still watching, I know he's a Pittsburgh Pirates fan. I'm a Cleveland Indians fan. We are small market fans. Now, small markets in Major League Baseball are basically three quarters of the teams. If you're not New York, Chicago, LA, maybe Houston, maybe San Francisco, you know, outside of those markets, every team is a small market. So there's the haves and there's the have nots. It's kind of like in life a little bit when the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Now, I also put on there, I think the Major League Baseball should have a salary floor. Now, the Indians have like one of the lowest payrolls in all of baseball this year, along with the Pirates. They're somewhere around like $40 million, which sounds like a lot, but you got to realize there's 26 players on each roster. 26 divided by 40, you're averaging about $1 million a guy. To put that in perspective, the Dodgers payroll is well over $200 million. So, you know, you're talking five times the amount of players, where the Indians have to hit on all these guys they draft. They have to develop them, where if the Dodgers or the Yankees or whoever make a mistake, they can go out and buy a free agent to, you know, put a Band-Aid on that situation. So to me, that is a huge pet peeve. Major League Baseball needs to really look into very fast. And from everything I hear, there could be a strike next year in Major League Baseball because of the bargaining agreement is coming up. And that could be a very interesting, contentious point with, you know, with salaries and whatnot and ownership. So it should be very interesting.
Now, when you have so much disparity on the field where some of the league minimums, even in football, mm-hmm. up against people who are making, you know, $20 million for the year, does it kind of erode sort of like not the professionalism, but the, you know, the competitiveness of those players when they know that that dude's getting paid way more to take this hit than I am?
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of understand that, but these guys, I think especially football is a different beast too, because in baseball and in basketball, your contracts are guaranteed for the most part. In football, they are not. So you could be cut, you could be waived, you could be released. And football, as we all know, is a very violent sport. And like you said, you know, let's say a running back is making the league minimum and he's making $500,000, $600,000, whereas, you know, your starter might be in the $12, $13 million range. Those guys are still fighting for a job, for the future, for going forward. And I think every position's a little different. Like the quarterback position gets paid way more than a running back, where, you know, or a defensive tackle, you know, for example, the defensive ends make a lot more than a defensive tackle because it's more of an elite position and there's not as many of those guys. So it's kind of like you earn your money, and then when you earn your money, you're kind of fighting for that next paycheck, or you're fighting for that next contract or whatever it might be. So yeah. I don't know if that fully answers your question, but right. I'm sure there's got to be some animosity sometime.
For sure.
TJ Watt right now for the Pittsburgh Steelers is a perfect example. TJ Watt is, or Watt.
Want?
Yeah, that's what I said. TJ wants more money. Yeah. And, you know, he probably wants a Myles Garrett type contract. Myles Garrett just got his 5-year $125 million contract. They're similar players. And I don't know what TJ Watt's making, but I know it's not that. And he has not actively participated in any team drills for the Steelers this whole camp, which is going to put him behind if he in fact does play week one, which I'm sure he will, because he's arguably their best player. But that's where I think certain things show. You know,
so
a little bit.
In baseball, outside of pitchers, what's the next highest paid position, would you say?
Oh, boy. Position would be tough. I would guess an elite outfielder.
Okay.
Outside of pitcher. Yeah. Like speed, power. You know, then you're probably going to any other position that can hit the ball well. you know, and field their position. So shortstop, first base, stuff like that. Your power hitter, first base, third base type positions, but your shortstops and your pitchers are kind of your, you know, if you have those, you're going to be fairly set. Another one with baseball, and I'm sure some Major League Baseball traditionalists would agree with this, the shift. And if you're watching this, I have a picture of a shift in baseball. This is just one example, but they have all four infielders on one side. Now, again, someone might say, well, lay down a bunt. Yeah, and I get that. It's strategy, it's analytics, but I don't have to like it. You know, I don't know a lot of people that love the shift. I don't know. I guess a lot of guys are pull hitters. You know, if they're a lefty, they're going to hit to the right side. If they're a righty, they're going to hit to the left side. But it doesn't mean we have to like it. I've heard other people say, well, you have to keep two guys on one side of the bag. You can have them shift all the way up the middle, but they have to keep one foot on the infield, something like that. I don't know what the answer is, but that's something I think Major League Baseball should look into. Just personally for me, that's one of my critiques.
I honestly think though that too many players are single dimensional, and if you can play one dimension at them, you need to develop more skill in
exactly a different department. Yeah, you got to be able to learn to hit the ball the other way. That's right. I guess, you know,
if there's plenty of players that can do that.
Exactly. So. Yeah, if you can do that, because they would argue though, again, with the shift, the only way you can beat that shift is by hitting a home run, pretty much. So, you know, but you could say lay down a bunt or slap it the other way, and whatever it might be. I don't have the right answer, but I'm up for suggestions on that. All right, here's your guy.
Yes.
Certain commentators that you just don't like. This is Joe's guy, Joe Buck, his namesake. So Joe Buck gets a lot of critique, a lot of criticism. I personally don't dislike Joe Buck as much as
me.
A lot of fans, especially a lot of Indians fans from that 2016 World Series. The guy does work really hard. You know, he does the NFL games on Sunday. He'll do the World Series. He'll do a lot of other things. And I think personally, he's good at what he does, but I could see him, you know, he has a slightly punchable face too. So
he said it.
So I'm with you for that. All right. This next one applies to a lot of people, some of my friends included, the fantasy football know-it-all guy or girl. So just don't be this guy. You know, you're not an actual GM running an actual team. You paid $50 or $100 to play in a fantasy football league, and you're probably picking the position that you need the most, or, you know, the guy that's ranked highest on ESPN or Yahoo or Google or whatever it might be, whatever league you're in. It's like,
I got a lock for you. Pick Aaron Rodgers and you'll win.
Exactly. Oh, like I had the first pick in my draft in the one league. It's like, I'm going to take Christian McCaffrey. Does that make me a genius? No, it means he's the highest rated player. You take him. So it is what it is. There's some decisions, I guess you could say, oh, that was a smart decision, or that was a smart free agent pickup, or, you know, good job putting this guy in your lineup over this guy. But it's like, at the end of the day, come on, it's fantasy sports, you know, and I guess some people are living in a fantasy, you know. It's like George Costanza said, maybe I could be the GM for the Yankees or something, which I guess later he became the assistant. One thing George Costanza said, let me take that back. He said, when he was looking for a job, he's like, maybe I could be a sports broadcaster for the Yankees. And they're like, well, they generally like to give that job to people, you know, that either former players or guys that know the game or people in broadcasting. I just thought that was good. Another one, this was another submitted one, too many reviews. And a guy that's going to be on our show on Thursday, he is a Cincinnati Bengals fan. He's going to do our Cincinnati Bengals preview. Jason said, one thing, and he's an attorney, so this guy's real analytical, follows the rules, knows the rules, but he's saying if an important call is made at the 2 minute and 5 second mark, how is that different than the 1 minute and 55 second mark? Because we created an arbitrary line of the 2 minute. It's more important if it happens 2 minutes or later, you know, as you know, that that call would have been 10 seconds difference. But if it's wrong, it's wrong. Fix it. If it's right, it's right. Fix it. So if you're going to do it, I think you got to do it all the way in. If it's wrong. Now, we don't want to stop the game 100 times for every little call. But if it's a major call or if it's a very obvious call, I think make it. So maybe like in baseball or like in basketball, or I should say like in football, but maybe in basketball, they need to bring out like a challenge flag or something like that where, you know, and I know they have that to a point, but maybe they can make it a little bit easier and fan friendly where it's not as obvious.
You know? I'm telling you, man, have computers make the call and you don't have to worry about this crap. It's instantaneous and the accuracy goes way up.
Let me piggyback on that point. Do you think eventually they should go to like a computerized umpire system for baseball?
Heck yeah.
Strike zone.
Heck yeah.
Okay. Yep. I think that would, there'd be no more arguing.
Nope.
You know, there'd be, it's either a strike or it's not.
Well, so. I'll tell you this though. Let me give you a story too. I used to be in motorsports, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I created a program that would do a computer pill draw. Cause a lot of set is set on these pill draws. And I thought, okay, well before they used to pick it out of a hat and there was a person involved. And I thought, let's take the biases. Like people would complain about how, you know, the person drew the number and they saw or whatever. So I created a totally randomized computer generated pill that mm-hmm. no biases were in. And they still freaking complain.
Always.
So the computer's not any more trustworthy mm-hmm. than the people.
People are
no matter just what.
Generally inherently not trustworthy.
Yep.
Or trusting, I should maybe say. And yeah, that's
good. So happen. I mean, you have a strike zone that's determined by, you know, an actual computer, and then somebody will say it was uncalibrated or I saw it better than the computer did.
Yeah. So I mean, because obviously there's height differences between batters, the way they squat down or in their stance, that might be different, but that would all be adjustable, you know, based on each batter. So
I trust computers more than people.
Obviously. Yes. Obviously. All right. Next one. This one. And if you watched any of the Ole Miss Louisville game last night, there were 4 ejections in the first half of the game for targeting. Now, I think this is something the NCAA really needs to look into. And I put NCAA has got a ton of problems. They make a ton of mistakes, but you know, they've fixed it a little bit with the NIL. But now this targeting rule is really, really a hot button issue because a lot of times it's a judgment call. I think they need to look at it in terms of intent. If it's a helmet to helmet, yeah, that's one thing. You could flag it. But if the guy, I mean, these guys are going so fast. But if the guy legitimately drops his head and is trying to knock you out or whatever, then sure, that's intent. He can be ejected. But if it's helmet to helmet, but the guy just is in the wrong place at the wrong time, it's an accident, which a lot of them are, then review that for intent, you know, because not everything is black and white, you know, and I think that's why you have replay, because that kid, it could be the first play of the game and the kid misses the rest of the game. Or if it's in the second half, you know, he's suspended for that or ejected for that second half and suspended for the first half of the next game. So it's a really big penalty for a lot of these kids. And you know, maybe they need to look at that rule again. That's just my opinion. And that's sort of a pet peeve of mine because we all used to love the big hits and stuff. And we still do. You just don't see them anymore because of the way the game is played. So
there's a lot of other rules though. Like if a guy gets pushed into the kicker, right? He's hit with a penalty regardless mm-hmm. if he intended to roll into the, you know, the kicker as well. So there's a lot of ones that are kind of like,
yeah.
Intense, probably difficult too.
But in that sense too, you have a running into the kicker versus a personal foul. So you have a 5-yarder versus a 15-yarder. They used to have that with the face mask. Now they sort of just 15 yards or nothing. But yeah, I'm in agreement with you. It's not everything is simple, black and white. Sometimes there's intent, sometimes there's not. And if there's intent and it looks bad, then yeah, keep them
ejected. Do you think because of the rule shifts for targeting, they moved a lot of normal coverages into what would be considered targeting, and so it seems like there's more of it just because they expanded the definition?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Because I can remember growing up that they were not, you know, they were handsy, they were aggressive when they would cover their receivers.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, you're not allowed to have as much contact down the field after that 5 yards especially. So yeah, I don't know, that's That's tough for me to answer because I don't know, but I would say it could affect the way, you know, based on the game, the way the game is played now. So very interesting. All right, next one. Meathead fan. Don't be that guy. That's all.
What is that?
I don't know.
What does that mean?
Meathead.
Yeah, just, I see him. He's buff. He's built.
Yeah. I don't feel like I want to get into it anymore. I think we can all
speak for itself.
Let's just, what's that? How do you say it? It's like, you know it when you see it.
Okay.
You know?
All right. I'll let this one go. I won't push on this
all
one.
Right. Yeah. Oh, and I put on there. Just don't tell him I said that.
He'll bust you, man.
Another one. Bandwagon fans. No one likes the bandwagon fans. You know, these guys that are like, and I put on there too. Let me read it. It says the people that like the Yankees, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Alabama Crimson Tide, the Lakers. No, you're just an asshole.
After every Super Bowl, you go to look for that team's jersey on somebody. You're like, uh-huh, right. Well, weren't you a Browns fan?
And that's why I love and respect kids that are like high school age and younger that are Browns fans, because we lost a whole generation of Browns fans because the Browns stunk for so long. And how can you blame a little kid for rooting for the Seahawks or whatever when they were really good? And, you know, so for those kids that are Browns fans, they are legit, true, loyal Browns fans, just like you and I, because we suffered through all those years. But if you're a, and we're going to get to this next one in a minute, so it might rub some people the wrong way. But
I really noticed that I was an Athletics fan when I was really young. McGuire was my favorite dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And when they went to the World Series a bunch of times in a row, like all these people joined the A's. And I was like the only guy in the, you know, and for whatever distance that was an Athletics fan because of, you know, proximity. Yeah. But
no, but I understand that as a kid too, you tend to gravitate towards players, not necessarily teams as well. So I think there's a little bit more leeway with kids than with adults on this one. You generally, you know, and if you move around a lot, maybe you don't have that like homegrown team that you always root for. But you know, but if you're also rooting for the Dodgers, and then, you know, whatever, you know, if you're rooting
the Yankees.
Yeah, exactly. The Yankees. But then you like Alabama in football.
Amazing.
Why? Because they've won the last how many championships? I understand it as a kid. As an adult, it's not acceptable. So don't be that person. To go along with that. Well, I'm sorry. The other one I had is a little bit later. It's coming soon. We're probably getting down to the last few slides here. But adults who aggressively go after foul balls and autographs, obnoxious, drives me nuts. And the picture up in the right, top right corner, if you're watching this on video, this lady just absolutely stole this ball from this little girl. They, you know, the ball was thrown up in between them both. And if she knew there was a little girl there that was trying to catch the ball.
She's like, she's mauling
her.
Yeah,
she just rips it right out of her hand. Now, a still image doesn't, you know, isn't the greatest always, but you know, don't be that person.
Come on, Karen, I mean, give her the ball.
Exactly. Yeah. She, I bet her name really is Karen.
Yeah. I'm with you.
This one. Now I don't like Joakim Noah. I can't stand him. He's one of my least favorite players, but this lady in this picture, this happened when the Miami Heat were playing the Bulls in one of the Eastern Conference Finals. And she just like literally 2 inches from her face puts up the middle finger. And like, to me, that's crossing a line. So if you're throwing punches, beer bottles, you know, popcorn, whatever, you should be thrown in jail. Now, if you're flicking somebody off like that, you're not making actual physical contact, but you could start an altercation. You should be punished in some way for that. Now, there's a line, and it's kind of like you know it when you see it type thing, like I mentioned before. So we've seen like the kid that threw a water bottle at Kyrie Irving or the kid that threw the popcorn at Russell Westbrook earlier in the NBA playoffs, they got punished for that. Like, I think they were banned from that arena, and good, they should be. So, you know your limits, know your rules, and, you know, do the right thing.
Unless it's a bullshit call, then throw as many bottles onto the field as you feel like, because that was bullshit.
Yeah, that bottle gate one was, that was.
I'm still salty about that.
Another one, burning jerseys. We all know this in Cleveland. You know, a lot of people did it with the LeBron stuff. I just think it's stupid, you know, and then, you know, with the whole Colin Kaepernick thing, that's what this picture is of. We're not going to get into that, but, you know, that It's just stupid to burn a jersey. Just don't burn jerseys. Don't be that person. So,
although it does reduce the amount that are on the market, and then your jersey becomes more valuable. So
from you're looking at it from an analytics
investment standpoint. Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand. Okay. Just real quick on this one, NFL Pro Bowl, get rid of it. Stupid. It's stupid. It's not real football. It's dumb. You get the best players, and the only thing they can do out there is possibly get hurt, you know? So get rid of it.
And they're not really playing, no matter what.
Exactly.
They're not playing.
Exactly. This next one might be one of the worst of all, cheering an injury. Toronto Raptors fans, in this one, I know we're very guilty of this. When Kevin Durant got hurt, they're basically like, well, that locks up a title for us. I'm happy. Yeah, but it's still a guy's health, a guy's career. Don't cheer an injury. It's bad.
Even with the Chiefs, when what's his name?
Yeah.
Patrick went down. It was not
bad
taste. I heard a lot of guys cheering that. And it was not bad taste.
Don't boo an injury. And like, I mean, at the end of the day, they're a person. I get it. Yeah. They're paid a lot of money. You want them to lose. So root for them to lose, but don't root for them to get hurt.
Yep.
Next one, the Houston Astros. I mean,
just the whole team.
They just cheated the game. They stole a World Series. No one likes them. So, you know, whenever we talk worst teams in Major League Baseball or most hated teams, I think for a while it's going to be the Houston Astros.
Okay.
So, and they beat the Indians in one of those years in the opening round of the playoffs to knock them out. And arguably Trevor Bauer, who's in his own hot water, but accused them of cheating way back then before it was even known. So something was up. And then lazy takes by commentators. We've talked about this one before. Not every black quarterback is Michael Vick, especially with athleticism. Not every white receiver or white wide receiver is Julian Edelman. You know, they're not all short, quick, elusive, scrappy guys that are the first ones in and the last ones out. We've talked about this before, but I think I criticized Tony Romo for doing this last year, but you know, it is what it is.
Madden was my favorite. I so miss that dude.
Well, look at this guy right here. So
he's scrappy. He's fast.
But again, not all white wide receivers are the, you know, some like Adam Thielen are going to go up and get the ball. They're tall, they're bigger, they're faster, you know, and some quarterbacks are, whether they're white or black, are going to stay in the pocket. They're not all going to be scramblers and runners and all that stuff. So, so what did I miss? I had another one on there that I overlooked, or the Pittsburgh Steelers fans that are also Cleveland Indians fans that are also Ohio State Buckeye fans. That's a personal pet peeve to me. And then another one that someone submitted that I just didn't have time to submit was the use of pronouns. So we're in a big he, you know, she, her, he, him, us, we, they, all that stuff, pronoun, I get it. But their complaint or their pet peeve was when we refer to we won the game. No, you didn't. You didn't actually. You weren't on the field. You weren't on the court. You didn't win the game. Or they'll say us, you know, it's like, or, you know, but sometimes those pronouns change whether you win or whether you lose.
They lost.
They lost. We won. You know, so that's it. So if we missed any, feel free to write in on social media. We would love to hear it. We'll share those on Thursday. Thursday, we have a really big show. We have Baltimore Ravens, Cincinnati Bengals, Pittsburgh Steelers, Cleveland Browns, all previews coming up. AFC North preview. We'll have an Ohio State, Oregon preview. And we'll also have Steve Leslie from YSN previewing the biggest games of the week and some other Thursday thoughts. So appreciate you guys all for watching. Thanks to Joe. Thanks to Lucas. We will see you guys on Thursday, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.
Affects me more than